be discouraged. I was on the phone a few minutes ago encouraging a brother who's going through a challenge. Don't be discouraged. Only believe what the words say. You know, don't be distracted. You know, and you honor your man and your woman of God, or whoever you're sitting under, by when you're placed in an assignment, you're faithful to that assignment, and you encourage the things, the Bible says, things that you have learned, you know, you're committing that also to faithful brethren. Amen. Let's move on. Also, too, it says here, even so must the wise be grave. In other words, your wife must be honest and of good character. You know, one of the things the apostle always says when he appoints people into offices, whether it's master life bearers or the 70, he's very cognizant, or he wants the wife to also be in agreement with the husband, and that they flowing together as one. You know, and that, you know, she's not a busybody, not, you know, one who's just looking for a position, or you know, just, I have the the thing here where I said a level-headed and not a crazy woman, you know, not a Jezebel, not a Vesta, you know, but one who's going to support her husband, support the ministry. That's so very important, that, you know, When you're called into ministry or called into service, that you're called as one, you know. And I thank God for my wife, because she's always behind me. She encourages me and she motivates me, you know. And it's so very important that a husband and wife be a part of the same ministry. That's you know, you don't want to have two different visions that you're under. Anything that has two heads is a freak. You know, you need to be knitted together as one. Let's move on. Let the deacon or the elders be the husband of one wife, not running the street. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing some things. Ruling their children and their house well. And that's so very important. For they that have used or desire that office of an elder, it's a well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move on. Okay, there is a process of servanthood, and what I mean by servanthood is serving your man of God. And being obedient in the faith and growing in maturity. There's a process of growing and developing, and that's so very important that we grow and develop in the things of God. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the process. And I have some of these things I shared earlier. It says they have to first be learn instructions by learning how to submit to authority. We're talking about elders. In order to be in authority, you first must learn how to submit to authority. A lot of times people want to be in a position of authority, but they're not, they haven't learned how to properly submit to authority. When you submit to authority, now you're better able to know how to walk in authority. In other words, to be in authority, you must first learn to submit to authority and to serve properly those who you are submitted to. Because honor has to be developed and honor has to be learned first. It does not come automatically. And it does not come just because, you know, hands was laid upon you. You know, it's like I said, it's a process of servanthood. When you serve consistently and consecutively and can be trusted, you know, then you become a candidate for honor. Amen. Honor must be learned through service before it can be given. And I already stated about Elijah and Elijah, how Elijah served his man of God. He said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. Wherever you go, Elijah, I'm going. I'm going to be there. You know, I think about the 12 master vision bearers who serve under the apostle, who are, you know, part of LTMA. They're the pillars of LTMA. wherever the apostle goes, whatever churches that he's going to, they're there, and they're there to support, to undergird. You know, they're like, that's an Elisha connection, you know, and that blessed me. And you see, as a member of LTMA, I'm watching them, you know. They are inspiring and encouraging me and motivating me because, you know, it's you know, you have the apostle, then you have the master vision bearers, then you have LTMA, and then you have, you know, Word of Life Christian Center and all the other churches that fall under that umbrella of protection. And that's so very important. And that's apostolic order. You know, that's so very important. And when you flow properly, getting back to something the apostle's been talking about, proper alignment, aligning yourself in ministry, aligning yourself properly to the vision, you know, knowing your place and flowing in that gives honor to your man of God, because it shows that the growth, it shows maturity, it shows development. Amen. You never want to stay the same. You always want to be constantly progressing, constantly increasing, constantly moving forward in the things of God. Never standing still. Always, always on the increase. Amen. All right. A person becomes an elder by their faithful service consecutively and consistently over a period of years. In some cases, you know, that time frame could be, you know, their whole life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. If you're going to be a steward, is someone that gets entrusted with something. You need to be found faithful. Can I depend upon you? Are you reliable? You know, you bring honor to your man or your woman of God by walking in faithfulness. Don't expect honor if you have never shown honor. You know, if people who want honor, they have to first show honor, you know, mature and be mature enough to receive it. There's a season of preparation. You don't want to be a Gehazi. A Gehazi followed Elijah before Elijah did. But Gehazi, he was more interested in the stuff, you know. And there were times he received things ahead of season that he shouldn't have received, you know. And because of that, he suffered leprosy, you know. Instead of learning the lessons, like I was saying, going through the tests, developing, when people was around the prophet and they wanted to bless the prophet and they couldn't get to the prophet, Gehazi said, "Well, I'll take it. I'll take the gift." You know, I've actually known people who were put in that situation, and when they told me what happened, I said, "You need to give that back." I said, "It's not time to receive. There's a time to receive. There's a time for preparation, and there's a time to receive. And you got to know the difference. You know, there's a time of training because like I said, honor has to be developed. You know, you don't walk into it. It's a preparation phase and a training phase that has to take place. And through their years of service and commitment and their spiritual development over the years from the teaching they've received, you know, and been entrusted with, there's an integrity factor that's so very important. You know, integrity means that, you know, your heart is pure towards the ministry, is pure towards your man of God. You're not speaking out of both sides of your mouth. Your motives are pure, and that's so very important. Your motives are pure. All right, let's move on. We are going to look at how to develop the spirit of honor in some of these upcoming classes. as we carefully develop the subject, this subject on how to develop honor in our lives, we must look at areas where dishonor has been shown. And we're going to look at some examples where dishonor had been sown, even though they were put in positions of authority. They abuse that authority, and we're going to be looking at probably in these next two class sessions. We're going to be looking at Moses. We're going to look at Lucifer. We're going to look at Noah, Jabez, and Absalom, and we're going to also be looking at Miriam and Aaron, and we're going to see how though they were in certain positions because of them not understanding government and not understanding God's leadership, how they got in dishonor, and there were consequences that each one of them had to suffer because of that. These true rich examples will explain how one becomes a candidate for honor and what the cure for dishonor is, and the reason not to curse the leader of your people. In other words, don't. We talked about this in several classes, not to put your mouth on your man of God. And that's so very important. You want to always speak positively. You know, a lot of times there'll be things that you may not understand, but I tell people just put it on the shelf. You know, I'll never forget there was and I stated this once before, years ago, there was a man of God who was going through a challenge. And I remember the apostle from the pulpit says, don't put your mouth on him. You know, when people talk negatively about it, don't you get involved with it. You know, because anybody who's you know, been a blessing to the body of Christ and have seen as many people come to the Lord as particular ministers have, you know. See, one thing I've learned, the enemy is constantly going to attack the pulpit, you know. And as you know, servants and those who are submitted to leadership, it's our job to undergird, to just like when Moses, when they fought the battle, when Moses got tired, he had people lift his arm up. Our job is to lift our men and our women of God's their arms and hold them up and protect them. You know, I've watched the apostle over the years, how he always surrounds himself around strong, faithful men and women when he travel, you know, and you know, and it's just a protocol that has to be followed to stay with integrity. The Bible says not to sustain from all appearance of evil, you know, and that's so very important in ministry, you know, being a man and a woman of integrity in everything that you do. All right. Let's go to Numbers. Matter of fact, open up your Bibles. We're going to read some scriptures. Numbers chapter 12. We're going to look at Miriam and Aaron and Moses. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. All right. It says in Numbers 12 and 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Let me pause there. Now here we have a situation where Miriam, who was Moses' sister, and Aaron was his brother. Matter of fact, Miriam was an older sister. Aaron was a brother. Miriam, the author says that all her life she interceded for Moses. You know, when Moses' mother, Jacobet, put Moses in the river in the basket, it was Miriam that watched over him and watched where Moses, the basket went when he went to the and the queen got it and say that, you know, hey, this is my baby. And then so now Miriam says, ma'am, I know somebody who can take care of the baby for you. You can be a, you know, like a, you know, watch over him. And so now she gets Moses' mother to watch over Moses, because as you know, during that time they were killing babies because they saw that Moses was a special child. And so she protected Moses. But the thing about it, I want to get at, Miriam interceded and protected and watched over Moses. But now Moses has been elevated as the one God has chosen to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And here, while they're en route to the promised land, in verse 12, both Miriam and Aaron spec against Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And it said that the Lord heard it. And then in verse 3 it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spec suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three of the unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came out and they came forth. So now God is calling them on the carpet. And one thing you got to understand, in the temple, the only person who was legally supposed to be in the Holy of Holies was the high priest. And the Shekinah glory of God was supposed to stay in the Holy of Holies. But because of this incident of dishonor, where now Miriam and Aaron were speaking against God's man, God's apostolic man of the hour, who was Moses. You know, God knew that something had to be done. And what I want to point out here is that whenever there is dishonor, at that degree, it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be nipped in the bud. Because if not, it can become contagious. Whenever there's dishonor to this degree, it's got to be nipped at the bud. And even there's times, even in ministry or in a church, you know, if the apostle or your pastor gives instructions and tell people to do various things and they don't do it, you know, and over a period of time, there's a space for repentance and a space to get it right. And if he sees that, hey, you're still going in the same way, and all of a sudden correction comes down, or like some people say, the hammer comes down, people look at that and say, ooh, that's kind of stern that he said or he did that. But once one person get away with something, guess what? Somebody said, I can do this, you know. And you see, sin is contagious, okay? I'll give you a good example. Lucifer led praise and worship in heaven. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And he convinced one-third of the angelic host to come on his side. And so we see here that, you know, if it's not nipped in the bud, you're going to have other people going astray. So it has to be nipped in the bud. So let me read a little bit more, and we're going to get more into this lesson. And he said, in verse 6, and he said, hear me now. This is the Lord speaking. Hear me now, my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be whole. Therefore were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You know, he says, you know, if I want to raise up a prophet, I have ways I can speak to him. You know, I can speak to him in dreams or in vision. He said, but Moses is not so. He said, I have entrusted Moses with all the affairs of my people here on earth. You know, I've entrusted him to lead my people into the promised land. And says, were you not afraid to come against, or to, even though Miriam was Moses' sister by birth, They had the same mother. And even though she interceded, the author talks about how she actually interceded for Moses for 80 years. And I think even after that, there was another period of about 10 years. And he said a total of about 90 years, you know, and watched over and protected him in his earlier years. It seemed like she would have some legal rights or some, you know, through birth rights to speak into his life. No, you know, she didn't, because if Moses got in error, which he did, God was going to correct him. You know, God told Moses to speak to the rock. He kicked the rock. And because of that, he never did enter into the promised land. So God will deal with the man and the woman of God that he has appointed. But it's our job to submit and to honor, you know, and to cover, you know, when, you know, give you an example. And we talked about this several weeks ago when Noah built the vineyard after God had, delivered them from the flood, and he was drunken. One of his sons went and talked about Noah's nakedness, but the other two sons, once they heard, they went backwards with a sheet and they covered his nakedness. You know, when we see someone in error, it's so very important in leadership that we cover them and that we restore them back and not talk about them, because that's God's man, you know. But here, God is very upset with both Aaron and Miriam. And as we know, Miriam becomes a leper, and she was actually kicked out of the camp for about 7 days. You know, God literally spat in her face. You know, well, I shouldn't say literally. When we read on, it talks about it, that, you know, Moses was praying that God remove this leprosy from Miriam. And he said, if this was her father, her natural father, would he, because of this disrespect and this honor, would he have not spat in her face, you know, as a sign of disrespect? She's going to be banished from the camp for 7 days. So the tribe did move on, and after 7 days, she would be restored. And from a spiritual point of view, when you spit in the face of a ministry, that ministry suffers leprosy. That's really showing my disapproval of what you're doing, you know. And people who have leprosy, their senses are dulled. You know, you lose an arm, you lose a leg, things start to decay. So your sensitivity starts to wane and becomes very, where you lose sensitivity. You lose sensitivity, the author says, to the time. You lose sensitivity to your gift, you know. You lose sensitivity to the spirit. You know, there's isolation, and you don't want that, you know, but that's what dishonor and disrespect when you're dealing with God's men and women of God will bring. It'll bring a cause of ministry to be very insensitive. Amen. And here we see this lesson here that's talking about things that took place and how it affected, you know, Miriam and Aaron, even though they were, you know, natural, blood brothers to Moses. But here it says, let me, I'm trying to find the spot. Okay, it says here, so why did you show no reverence and no respect in speaking against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord blazed out against them. And then he left. And then it says, when the cloud moved off the tent, Miriam turned leprous, and she was white as snow. Aaron looked at Miriam as a leper and said to Moses, please, my master, please don't come down so hard. Now, this is, I think, the Amplified on us for this foolishness and this thoughtless sin that we've done. Please don't make her as a stillborn. In other words, you know, a baby that dies in the womb starts to decay. Please heal her. God answered Moses, and this is what I just talked about. It says, if her father had spat in her face, wouldn't she be ostracized, set as an example for 7 days? God had to make an example out of her so no one else would get out of order. You know, like I said, when you have disorder, like that and disrespect, it's got to be nipped in the bud, because it'll be contagious. Quarantining her outside the camp for 7 days kicked her out of the camp. Then she was able to be readmitted into the camp. So Miriam was quarantined for those 7 days. Only then did people march forward and moved on. It must have been something about the fact that Miriam thought, you know, and we talked about this earlier, that because Moses married somebody out of his race, you know, she got disturbed about it. And she didn't, you know, didn't agree with Moses' decision. But it wasn't her decision to make. It was God. And one of the things I want to point out here, too, also, Miriam, though because she had, you know, invested all these years of praying and interceding for Moses, still had not a right to speak against Moses. You never want to put your mouth negatively on a man or a woman of God, you know, because you will suffer consequences. Never put your mouth on a man or a woman of God. It must have been a very important matter that needed immediate attention, because the Lord left the Holy of Holies from behind the veil and came to meet the three of them at the door of the tabernacle. According to the law, you know, he should have stayed. The only time he was permitted to come out was on the Day of Atonement, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. However, this case of dishonor, God had to come and deal with this, you know, calling them upon the carpet. And as I stated, because of that dishonor, it had to be nipped at the bud. You know, it had to be cut off, because otherwise it would be contagious. Okay, let's look at another illustration. Corinth, in Numbers 16, just a few chapters over. And for the sake of time, we're going to just kind of read. I'm not going to go into the scriptures and read everything. But anyway, Korah, one day he, for whatever reason, decided, hey, look, I'm going to come against Moses. You know, I'm going to come down from my high horse, and I'm going to speak against Moses. And he said Korah rebelled against Moses. He had about 250 leaders with him, and they were part of the congregation or the council that came against Moses. And basically what they were telling Moses, they said, you know, you've overstepped yourself. You know, this entire community is holy, and God is in our midst. So why do you act like, you know, you're running the whole show? And actually he was, because Moses was getting his instruction from God, you know. One thing we got to recognize, in apostolic government, there is a heaven to earth connection. And the apostles and the prophets, they are hearing from God. And as they hear from God, because of their vertical relationship, now they are horizontally sharing what they've heard. And so, you know, that's government. That's God's order. But Corinth said, hey, we're all holy. We all can hear from God. You know, and here again, here is somebody now. He's coming against God's man, who was Moses. You know, he overstepped his boundaries. It says, Moses continued with Korah. Listen well now, son of Levi. Isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has selected you out of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him? In other words, he was in a leadership position to serve in the ministry of the dwelling of God and to stand before the congregation to minister to him. He has brought you and all of your brethren, the Levites, in the inner circle. And now you're grasping for the priesthood also. In other words, you're trying to operate and want to operate in an office that God didn't ordain you to be in. You know, one of the things I tell people, You want to stay in your lane. Stay in your area of anointing. Whatever God has called you to, you stay in that. Don't try to step into another man's office. It's not your position to judge or to criticize or to challenge your man or your woman or God. It's our position to submit, to obey. Now, we read the scriptures earlier about elders and how, I talked about faithfulness, consistency, and being consecutive. Servanthood, obeying. That's our position, and that's how you get blessed. And see, that's how government operates in the kingdom of God. As I stated in several classes, we're not all equal. Last week we talked about, in Romans the 13th chapter, how all authority comes from God and God set up authority. Delegated authority for a particular reason. And anytime you come against God's delegated authority, you are indeed and in fact coming against God. And by doing so, you're going to definitely suffer consequences. All right. Moses continued with Korah, and he said, "Listen well now, son of Levi, listen." And he said, I read it earlier about, God has put you in the inner circle. You had a position, but now you want the priesthood too. Then he says, God opened, basically, Moses told Korah, he says, okay, if God is God, you and your crew get over here, all the people that's going to follow me. If you think Korah and his crew are right, you go on that side. And those who are submitted to me and think that I'm hearing from God, you stay on my side. And then God opened up the ground, and all of those people who was with Korah. Now, there was 250 initially. How many people from the entire camp got over on that side? Only God knows. But they were swallowed alive in the ground. The ground opened up and swallowed them. That's judgment. Thank God we're under grace. But sin and disobedience and dishonor brings consequences. But at the same time, obedience, walking in humility, yieldingness, walking in alignment brings blessing. And we want the blessings of God upon our lives. It says, God opened up the ground and swallowed Korah and the whole company because of the act of dishonor. It had spread quickly, and many followers of Korah were buried alive. Sin is contagious. Just like Miriam, she was taken outside the camp because she had leprosy, leprosy is contagious. So she had to be cured of the disobedience of speaking against Moses. And so all of these things is very, very important. Lesser people could have caught that spirit of disobedience, and it would have inhibited the process of what God wanted to do. See, God was trying to bring the children of Israel to the promised land. And every time, we don't need to be stopping every time somebody got an issue or a problem or feel like they're not getting enough attention. So they rise up and have their own ideas, apart from what the man of God is saying. God gives the man of God a vision, and it's up to the people who are following him to undergird and to support that vision. And that's so very important. Before they could move forward, that disobedience had to be cured, with Marion. Anytime you have the seed of dishonor, or conduct of dishonor being sown, most of the time it precedes a tremendous, now the author uses the word breakthrough, but we know we've already broken through. Jesus Christ has already paid the price for everything that's ours. It's already ours. So what I did here, I said, anytime you have the seed of dishonor sown or conducted, our conduct of dishonor being sown, most of the time it's going to precede a tremendous spiritual advancement where you're going through another door, you're going through, God is leading you to a new territory. And you see, they were in the process of going to the promised land. And so now the enemy will rise up, or somebody will be influenced to do or to say something to try to hinder the process, you know, and that had to be nipped in the bud. Okay, listen to this. I got a few more. I got five more minutes. If you are a senior pastor or in leadership, if somebody is speaking against the first family, they're actually speaking against the man of God, because they're one, you know, and something has to be done about that. It has to be dealt with. When the spirit of dishonor is shown, there has to be a confrontation. In other words, the person who's sowing that dishonor, they have to be confronted, and they have to be led into a way of repentance. Or sometimes they might even have to be kicked out the camp or kicked out the church, because if other people see it and say, well, so-and-so did this, so-and-so said this, you know, it's just like wildfire. It's going to just spread. So it has to be dealt with. So as a leader, anytime in a ministry, dishonor is being sown, it's got to be dealt with. If there's a member in your church that is showing dishonor, and you know, this is the author saying here, to your wife or your children, don't overlook it. If it's allowed to continue, it's just gonna you know, cause havoc in the church. The last thing I want to talk about is I've stated it already, but anytime God spits in the face of a ministry, that ministry suffers leprosy. And just getting back to the situation with Miriam, and that spitting in the face is a sign of God's disapproval of the act that was done. It wasn't so much of a physical spit, you know. In the natural, when a kid, you know, does something wrong, the parents may discipline their kid as an act of correction. But this was an act that God, by spitting or by that spitting in the face, it was showing God's disapproval. And I said, anytime that takes place, that ministry will suffer isolation. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nervous system, and it affects your senses, your sensitivity. And that ministry will lose sensitivity to the spirit. They won't be able to hear from God properly. That ministry will lose sensitivity to the season, what time it is. You know, that ministry will lose sensitivity to the gift. What God might want to use that individual in a particular way, but because of the act of disobedience, that sensitivity is almost like a hardening, you know. And that's why it's so important in closing, that if we do anything we know that's wrong, or God deals with us about areas of disobedience in our lives, get it right. You know, some people do, and they move on. But a lot of times, I've seen some people they let their heart get hardened, and when that happens, it's hard for the word to penetrate. You know, it can be broken, but it's harder. And if you don't nip it in the bud, cut it at the root, the bigger it gets, the harder it is to overcome. You know, so it's so very important that when we see disobedience or in our lives, or just resistance, and a lot of times it may not be physical or outward something that we're doing, but just sometimes on the inside, you know, I'm not feeling this, you know. Ask God, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts, Lord God. You know, lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, try my thoughts. You know, and Lord, if I'm not understanding this right, Lord, give me, you know, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally and unabraded not. And God's going to help you with it. God's going to show you areas where you need to make a correction. You know, there's times in my life that I had to make corrections to continue to move on with this ministry because my thinking was wrong, you know. And there's times where I probably stayed in positions a long time going over and over because I never advanced to the next grade because I didn't pass the test, And we all are like that. But once we say, Lord, I want to pass this test and I want to move on, then God now you can begin to be now a vessel of honor and glory where God can use you. And that's what God wants. His desire is to use us in every area of our lives. You know, but in order to do that, we have to make sure that we're walking in honor. Be men and women of honor, men and women of integrity, you know, men and women that can be trusted, you know, because no pastor, no person who's put in, who God has given a vision to, they can't do that vision alone. It takes people to fulfill the vision that God has called here at Word of Life Christian Center and over all the churches of LTMA. And we're the ones that God wants to use. But if we're operating in dishonor and disobedience and we're hindering and we're slowing the process, and what's in us could be contagious, so we need to get it out and move forward in the things of God. Amen? All right. See you next week. And I think your next class is going to be upstairs. All right. You're dismissed.
What's up? Mm-hmm. Did y'all finish praying over there? Huh? My mic on? Yeah, it's on. Hey, sir.